Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening, or actually it's probably just morning time, as it's gone midnight, we're joined by Yvonne Sayers, who is an acting coach and an entrepreneur coach based in LA, USA. And we're going to have a little chat about her coaching and Clubhouse and all sorts of things. So how are you doing today, Yvonne? You okay?
I am amazing. Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of exciting here because it's raining in LA and that never really happens here. So it's a different vibe, which is awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Well, rain is always lovely when it's warm. It's not so good when it's cold.
Yeah, you relate to that a little bit more than me because it's always kind of damp there, right?
Yeah, pretty much so, except for like, you know, 1 week of the year at some point.
Yeah. It's pretty much hot here almost all the time in LA, so...
I know. I might move there.
I always thought it was a little bit cooler, but it's definitely like pretty darn warm.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go to the sun at some point. So, you know, LA or, you know, Miami, somewhere I fancy, Miami or Ibiza. I've been to Ibiza 5 times. I love it. So would love to live there.
Yeah. Miami's amazing. Like it's crazy too, because I'm so used to here from New York and being from Louisiana, but The great thing, one thing I will say about LA, it's a little bit too hot for me. I like it a little on the cooler side, but at least there's no humidity. And, you know, so it's not like,
that's much
it's
better, not like,
when when you walk outside in some of these other places and it's hot, I mean, like literally you're sweating 2 seconds.
Just sweating nonstop, like, you know, sweat patches everywhere.
Exactly. So I'm very grateful for that. Everybody talks about the weather. So for the most part, it's pretty amazing, but I miss rain sometimes. So.
Well, I'll swap you some of mine, no problem. But
exactly right.
So anyway, we met on Clubhouse, and obviously I met loads of amazing, interesting people on that platform. I'm sure you have too. How have you been finding it?
Oh my goodness, I absolutely love it. I know it's pretty amazing. I'm so curious to see what's going to happen when it's actually released to the public. But in my experience, I love how it's so much more interactive. I feel like it's so much more personal than other social media platforms. And I absolutely love it. I've just like found kind of like my tribe of people, more entrepreneurs, more people who are like very mindset driven and stuff like that, that I totally vibe with. And making connections outside of your inner circle is one of the things that I really, really love about it, because you're able to like branch out to, you know, across multiple different avenues that you might not have been privy to prior to the app. So I freaking love it.
Yeah, me too. I'm exactly the same. Like you say, what happens is I'm a global player. I'm somebody who thinks big and have a global mindset and all of that. Basically, I call them 10%ers working on their way to 1%ers. Like, you know, the people who are trying to make a difference in this world. And so you can't meet those people very often in your own localities, etc., because they don't exist. You know, they're only a small percentage of them. They're 10% of them, or 1% of them is the whole population. So I find Clubhouse is like where they all hang out. You know, so it's like a private members area for the 10%ers and the 1%ers. And the 10%ers are there learning off the 1%ers. You know, and there's different people in the 5%ers teaching the 10%ers and the 1%ers teaching the 5%ers. You know, it's all a big sort of mix. So I'm not looking forward to the day that the mass markets come in, because I think it might dilute it. If I was in charge of Clubhouse, I'd park it somewhere and call it Influencer Land and just copy it and let the mass market in. That's probably what I'd do with it.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, it's already got like over 1 million viewers now, and it's growing more every day. And when I first joined, I don't know how many people were on there, but it wasn't as broad as it is now. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, like some of the smaller rooms and having some of those incredible conversations. And you're so right about the 10% and the 1%. That is so, that's another thing that's incredible about it, is the wealth of knowledge of information that is being exchanged there is off the charts. And I absolutely love that. So yeah, I'm curious, because like you said, there's a lot of different people on there, but the level of intelligence, of experience and wisdom that's being shared with versus like the general population, so to speak, like you're saying, like we're all like super, or maybe, you know, who knows though, maybe that's just my circle of people that I end up gravitating to that are like very driven and stuff, because that can happen too. I don't go in the rooms that I feel are unimportant to me, you know, so.
Yeah, it's the vibrations, you know, that you know, you give off the vibrations and attract the other people who are on the same level, on the same frequency.
Exactly. And it's so funny too, because like, I actually literally said to the universe, I was like, where are my people? Because people within my regular world, like how you said, right, the top 10% or 1%, like I am such a go-getter with things, and I have such a big mission of what I want to achieve and what I want to accomplish with my individual goals and my business goals. And it's crazy to me how many people, well, you know, we can't all be the leaders, right? Like some of us are the example and some of us are the ones who lead by example. And for me, that was like a big epiphany for me. I had to realize that I'm just one of those people who's meant to be a leader and lead by example. I'm the example. But it's, you know, because there aren't a lot of people out there that are as driven. And thankfully with Clubhouse, I was like, oh my God, these are my people. People trying to make a big difference. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, that's it. I've been looking to build my tribe for a while, and I've got tribes in different places in different sectors, etc. But they're not a tribe of the 10%ers or 1%ers, because those 10%ers or 1%ers, when you're in the UK and in Wales, they're either in London or they're in like San Francisco or they're in Dubai. You know, the 10%ers or 1%ers, there are many of them in Wales, you know, so it's quite easy to stand out as being the 10% or 1%er in Wales. I don't want to stand out and be easily of the rest of the people. I want to compete with people on my level. I want to put a battle. I want to compete with those 10%ers, 1%ers, only in a gentle game-playing way. I'm competing with myself and my own goals and my own targets and stuff. It's nice to draw battle and play with people who are on the same level as you. You know, it's more interesting.
That's right. Exactly. Someone who can, other people who can challenge you, you know, because I feel like having that is motivation for me to want to be better and be greater and like just keep going. You know, I just don't want to be average. I don't think I consider myself average. And so I want to be around other people who are above average, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And, that's exactly why I love the place. I love to learn and I love to teach. And so, you know, it's a sort of platform where there are people that you can learn knowledge bombs off, no problem. And there are people there who are thirsty for knowledge bombs that you can drop in as well. So, you know, for me, that's all about, that's the right thing. You should be in a 33%, 33%, 33% model where you're dealing with 33% of people in your life who are above you in some way of experience or knowledge or whatever, and they'll pull you up. And then you've got the 30% who are your peer group who you can jostle with and have a laugh with and grow with. And then there's the 33% who should be down below you in experience level and knowledge level, not in layered level. Nobody is above you and nobody is below you is what I believe in life. But in experience level, somebody's below you so that you can pull them up. And that's the chain reaction of life. That's if you can work to that 33%, 33%, 33% and make sure you're mixing with people in those circles, then you've got the right balance to life.
Exactly. And I'm totally in alignment with that. And that, I mean, that's part of what I do with my businesses, you know, like you said, I love sharing that experience and that knowledge with people who are just starting out where I was, so that they don't have to make the same mistakes that I did, you know, so that they can, you know, get themselves to where they really want to be. And sharing that experience is, I think, just invaluable. Again, you're helping them create the life of their dreams, ultimately, you know, and be the person that they want to be and inspiring them on the process, you know, so totally.
So I'm on a mission to help as many young entrepreneurs as possible to follow their passion, to find their voice. Because I'm in the communications business, what I've realized is unless people are on their mission in life to actually follow their passion and chase their dreams, and obviously I want to inspire people to do that because they have a better life. You know, generally it's better than being in a job and being in the rat race and not actually ever getting anything out of your life, living someone else's dreams rather than your own. I want to set them on the path to go and achieve their dreams. And what happens is when people are on that path and they believe in what they do and they're passionate about it, then they find their voice. And that's when they start doing YouTube videos and TikTok videos and podcasting and all of that for the people who get involved in those type of activities. They're passionate about what they do, and therefore they want to communicate it to the world. And the people who don't communicate very much, it's often because either they haven't got the skills, or they haven't got the confidence, or they haven't got the passion, because they don't believe in what they're doing. That's what draws them away from being vocal, because they're not confident in what they're saying, and they don't believe in it, and they don't want to put it on film or in recording or anywhere else. So because it ties in with everything that I know, communication skills, and social media and video and talking and communicating, teaching, coaching, all these sort of things, because it sort of ties in, that's my angle on the entrepreneurial journey, is to inspire them to be on the journey, but then educate them and help them in the tools that I've learned along the way that I know they'll want to learn. Because once you find your voice, you need to learn the skills, you know, to get comfortable with finding your voice. So that's my little angle on it, like, you know.
I love that. It's so true because, you know, not everybody wants to, like you were saying, like, not everyone wants to run their own business, actually. I mean, a lot of people, it's not in their heart. It's not their passion. It's not their desire. And that was like the biggest thing. Like, my father being one of those people, he was a teacher. He worked, he went back to college at 50 years old, actually, and became a teacher because he was in sales before that, because he's very personal, can talk to anyone.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a salesperson. He wasn't an entrepreneur. He's never been an entrepreneur. And the thing is, it was funny because I was kind of like, where the heck did I get that from? My brother actually is an entrepreneur. He's an architect and runs his own business, actually. But, you know, looking at my parents, I'm like, where the heck did I get this thing from? Because it's like that unstoppable force in you that, even though I've worked for other people, like, where I see what they're doing and you know the value of your worth, where I'm like, I know I could do that, you know? And then you learn the experience. And like, I didn't want to just only make like a certain amount of money. And in a lot of those jobs, someone else is determining that. As an entrepreneur, yes, you take all the risk and it's a lot of the ups and downs and all that, but the value of what you gain for yourself and what you can give to people, for me, it's not limited. There's no limit to that, depending on how far you want to go. And it's even to the amount of money that you can earn. You know, I mean, not everybody's up for it, though. Some people just want a regular job where, you know, they just get a paycheck every week. And I'm not saying that the stability of having that and the security of having that is not amazing, because it absolutely is. But the thing is, if there's a cap on that and I'm not able to, like, to break outside of that glass ceiling of whatever that salary is, then it to me, that doesn't motivate me. Like, I need to have the opportunity to be able to do more and to be more. And I think it's because I naturally inherently want to do that, and I'm just that kind of person. So I just want to be compensated for that in the end, you know. I mean, you can work your whole life for someone else, making them rich, and you yourself aren't there, you know. And when you know you have it within you to go to that same level that some of these other people that you admire and respect are at, because of all the skills and the talents and the mindset that you have, I think that means that you're meant to do that. It's just a matter of whether you execute on it and whether you follow through on it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I'm the same. I'm progressive. I got to keep progressing. So can't hit no ceilings, you know. There's no such thing as ceilings. You got to break through them. So yeah, I'm exactly the same. And you know, I think it's important in life to know what you want. I do think there's more people who would like to get out of it, though, than there are. I think there is a percentage of people who do like to stay in their comfort zone. And those people, you know, they want to stay in that career and be comfortable, and they're not driven in any way. It's the driver that really makes the difference, whether they've got a bit of drive and real sort of strong ambition in them. But there are, I think 90% of businesses in the UK fail in the first 5 years. There's a lot of people who try, but they don't succeed. And that's because they haven't got the right information. They haven't got the right knowledge. And also, a lot of them don't have the right money, because in the UK, it costs about 75 grand to actually make a successful business on average. And most people don't have that sort of level of investment. And so that's actually part of my mission. So part of my mission is to get on stages and to speak, you know, around the world globally, and then have a load of products that I can sell to bring a load of money in, and so that I can actually help startup businesses get going with a bit of like seed money and a bit of investment, And what I'd like to do then is give them the education and the knowledge that they're missing so that they can actually, instead of 90% failing in the first 5 years, maybe only 80 do or 70 do. I'd like to help more people who reach out and try and make their perfect life but fail at it. I want to give them a better start to make it more achievable that they do go on and have the life that they want. Because a lot of them end up, you know, giving up work, having a go at entrepreneurship, giving up that and going back into work and then never trying again. You know, because they once bit and twice shy sort of thing.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, like, I love that you just said that because that's also part of my mission. Like, I specialize in working with entrepreneurs that are new entrepreneurs because of the psychology behind the ups and the downs of it and stuff. And then also exactly like you said, with part of my specialty too, because I have, thankfully, I've been given the gift of a lot of talents. Like, I'm also an artist, so I'm really good at my design of all of my stuff that I produce, you know, with my multiple skill set across various platforms. But like, so many people don't know simple fundamentals about even testing the market for your product. You know, I learned that a little bit the hard way when I first got started with one of my art businesses that I actually did. And thank goodness, I didn't have a lot of money at the time. And thank goodness I didn't. It actually ended up being a benefit to me, because a lot of times people will think of a product and they think it's amazing, but they haven't actually tested it in the market. So they don't even know if people want to buy it. Like, you see that on Shark Tank and stuff like that all the time, right? They may be passionate about it, but they don't even know. And then they go spend tens of thousands of, you know, like $75,000 when they don't even know if it can sell. Like, that's part of where I come in before they spend that money. That's part of what my purpose is before they spend that money and break the bank, so to speak, they put in their sweat equity or learn how to use their mind and the skills that they have available to them, where they don't need the money if they have these other things. And then they can find out before they go to a manufacturer and spend all this money, how to test that product and then change it or pivot with it and evolve it before they, you know, spend all this money and then end up losing out in the long run. And it really comes down to pivoting. And something that you said there, that's a key thing. This program that I listened to called Think Like a Billionaire, and I think I can't think of the author's name right off the top of my head, but the number one thing that he noticed in studying multiple billionaires was that the one thing that made the difference with them and how they ended up making it to the next level is exactly what you're talking about, where they tried and then they failed and they tried and they failed and they tried and they failed. And like you said, most people try and then they go back to the secure job. I think people probably like you and myself, like, I'm not saying that hasn't happened to me, because it absolutely has, but the difference is I refuse to accept that.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to give in.
I'm like, I know I'm capable of this, and no matter what comes up against me, and man, it has not been easy, you know, but like, when you know that that's something that you have to offer and develop, you can't just sit at that job. You know, there's like something inside of you that won't let you do it. And he said the turning point for every one of these billionaires that he studied was Sam Walton was one of them, you know, like, that's the first one that comes to my head, but there were like a multitude. And he said the number one thing is that when it got to the point for them where they felt like, and everybody else was also telling them, it's, you know, you got to throw in the towel. And most people would have done that. You've tried this, you've tried that, you've tried this, you've tried that. Everything has failed. You know, the gig is up. Like, it's time to just throw in the towel and figure something else out, because nothing you're doing is working. Where when that happened and they reached their breaking point after all these tries, instead of being submissive and giving into that, they then doubled their efforts and refused to give up. And instead of just, that's the amazing thing he said. They said they literally doubled their efforts. And from doubling their efforts, then they pivoted and they found a way. And that's how they ended up becoming billionaires. That was like the one trait that they had within all of them, which is amazing.
Well, I got an amazing quote, actually, right? And I'm going to ask you something now, and then I'm going to tell you why so many people are wrong. But you know what? Your net worth, what is it equal?
And what is that now?
Your network is your...
Oh, your network.
Yeah. Your network is your net...
Net worth.
Yeah. That's what all the entrepreneurs say, right? But I've actually got a quote, which I disagree with that. I don't think that's right, and I'll tell you why. So you can network and you can build people around you and you can have a million contacts, but unless you know how to get value out of them, they're not worth anything. So actually, if you have a look at my Instagram, I've just done a quote from me. I use a hashtag, Mark Armstrong quotes, and it's actually how you leverage your network is your net worth. So there's a little difference.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, which is...
I like that.
Nearly all the entrepreneurs in the world say your network is your net worth. I listen to them all, you know. And they all say that quote, but it's actually factual because a network doesn't equal your net worth, you know. Unless you're finding a way to leverage them, unless you're finding a way to interact with them, they're not worth anything. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. But this is what I'm about, making a difference to the world. And actually, like, for example, Grant Cardone is 10X. And I took over a telesales team in the fintech tech startup that I worked in, CreditSafe. And they were doing 300 grand. And 8 years later, they were doing 5.7 million, which is 20X. And I actually have got a hashtag InfinityX because the number is immaterial. It's just thinking big. So actually, I don't agree with 10X because 10X is sticking a limit on it. So whereas most people think 10X is mad crazy, I actually have already 20X the business. And I know that Infinity X is possible, but why would you put yourself a limit on it? So I like the 10X movement. I like the 10X revolution, but Infinity X is a much better one.
Yeah, you know, I think the 10X thing, what I do like about that, I totally agree with you. I mean, again, it's all the limitations you put upon yourself, right? How far you're going to go. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that old quote. It's like a staple where I bargained for a penny is all I got. And I should have bargained for more. That's what goes back to the whole mindset thing. I think the reason with the 10X thing, if you're going to the psychology of the mindset of individuals, especially for new entrepreneurs, but even if they've been doing it for a while or in any business that they're doing, is it seems more possible for them to be able to achieve it. Now, it may seem to some levels that 10X is so impossible. Like if you're only making $100,000, then you 10X your business within a year or something like that. But that is so possible for one. And yes, you can go beyond that. But I think what happens with a lot of people is it helps it, because if you say 20X, it you know what I mean? Like it seems more feasible that it's possible with the 10X thing for sure.
Oh yeah, I like the movement and I like the revolution, but like I worked in a company that went from no turnover to 25 million turnover in 10 years. So they actually 25 million X'd, right? They started with nothing, so they went up to 25 million, yeah? They're actually now at 125 million in 20 years, right? They're actually 125 million X'd. And that's the point is that you can grow at any size you want. It all depends on the size of the market. It depends on the size of the team. It depends on the size of your ambition. It depends on the product. It depends on all sorts of things. But 10X is a great philosophy, and it gets people to think big. But actually, just educating people to think big and think bigger, it means there's no glass ceiling. You know, the 10X in itself is a glass ceiling, you know, because people set their sights on 10X. Whereas what they should set their sights on is what is possible.
And you know, that's a good point, but the thing about that is it's a matter of depending on where that individual is in their state of consciousness, whether it's with their personal money or with where their business is what is believable for them.
Yeah.
And then also the 10X thing, what I like about it is it's a strategy because it gives you a definite, firm decision. Like going back to Think and Grow Rich and Napoleon Hill, like you can't just say, I want to make a lot of money. You have to have something that's measurable for yourself because the mind is goal seeking by design. So what does that automatically is it's hard for a lot of people to make decisions actually and all kinds of things. And it kind of like automatically gives you the decision of where you're going to take your business without you having to do that. What I like to do personally, and I learned this, I don't even remember who I learned this from, when I'm trying to achieve a goal like that, whether it's sales or personally, I always try, especially if it's related to something that's measurable in numerical value with money, I always like to say, like, for example, if I want to take my company to a $10 million business this year, I would always say, I want to do it to 10 million or more. So if you do it like that, then you have a measurable number, you have something specific in your mind that you're going for, which helps the mind like focus on that and then create that reality and something for you to work toward, but then you're not putting a limitation on it when you do that. That's a technique that I personally like to use, like 10 million or more. So that way I know that I have, like, at least if I make that 10 million that year, then I've reached my goal, but I could far surpass that, but at least it's something measurable there, but it doesn't limit it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a good strategy. And another one, which is really to analyze the size of the marketplace and decide what market share you want. So like, for example, you know, if it's a like Forex, foreign exchange, if you're building a business in that business and it's worth, I think it's worth something like 3 trillion a day or something, you know? So if, for example, you know, you was building a company and a team and you had big ambitions and a lot of money behind you or whatever, you might go, okay, you know, I want 1 billion out of the trillion. So, you know, you could be at a level of 100 grand in 1 year, and you could strategize to get to 1 million. Yeah, and if you actually strategized to get to 1 million, you'll think about what size of team and what type of structure do I need to get to £1 million. Yeah, but if, for example, you analyze the marketplace and realize there's 1 billion for you, then you've actually just gone 10% of what was possible. And if you're actually thinking and strategizing to a level, then you're going to think to that level. Whereas if you're actually analyzing the marketplace and then strategizing to the possibilities within the marketplace, then you'll actually analyze and strategize at a different level. It's all about how you engage the brain to solve the puzzle.
Like, that's right.
What puzzle are you giving the brain?
That's right. And you know something with this Tony Robbins challenge that I'm doing this week that he said today that I really, really loved. And I think it's a really good way, like we're talking about money, because, and the reason a lot of these things relate to money is because it's measurable, right? But something that he said that I really loved, that, I mean, it's like, I think with whatever businesses that you're doing, that obviously you're trying to solve a problem, but something that he said that I really, really loved is, yes, it's good to try to want to reach that specific money goal for sure, but I kind of like also pivoting behind that, because that's just the reward that you're getting for the service that you're giving to people. Another way that you can measure that success is how many people you can reach with your product or with your message. I mean, the return result of that is not only the lives that you can change, but also the money that you gain from there. But he said something about falling, and Manny Hernandez actually sent me a video related to, mentioned kind of the same thing, about falling in love with your customer and thinking, like, instead of just putting like the dollar value on it. So that could be like another goal on top of the dollar thing related to that. But okay, this year I reached 100,000 people with my business. Next year I'm gonna reach, you know, or 10x it, right? So then I'm gonna reach 1 million people with whatever my service is, and branch out from there. It's like another good way to do that. I really liked that.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the mission that I'm on isn't monetary, but I know in order to do some of the things I want to do, then it has a monetary impact, if you like. But mine is more impact and legacy. So my mission is to, you know, try and connect with as many entrepreneurs on the planet as possible and help them in some way to either grow themselves or to, you know, start growing in the entrepreneurial space. So I want to either get people to start the entrepreneurial journey. So that's educating people who are in their comfort zone and they should go and pursue their goals, and they are capable of doing it. They don't have to stay in the rat race. So I want to work with those people. And then I want to work with the people who are hitting the glass ceilings in their own businesses, because most people hit a glass ceiling at various different levels of business growth. So I want to work with those people. And then I want to work with the people who are, you know, a bit later on in their career, the late entrepreneurs and stuff, and help them to achieve their goals as well. You know, so, you know, I want to just work with as many entrepreneurs on the planet. So it's more the number of people I can impact and the legacy that you can leave that drives me more so than the money. Like, you know, so again, it is, you know, you can, it all depends what you consider wealth. See, so what I consider people much more wealthier than money. The people, you know, every one person is worth like infinite amount of money. You know, they're priceless. People are priceless. So like one person is worth a lot more than say 1 million. So therefore, if you're going after £1 million, well, you only need to get one person to be equivalent to that. If you go after 1 million people, that's like, you know, £100 billion or something. I'd rather impact 1 million people or 1 billion people than get £1 million or £1 billion. It's worth a lot more money in my ratio of what a person is worth to a pound.
You know, and something that just flashed in my head right when you were saying that, because here's the other thing. With the impact that you make on people, whether it's entrepreneurs or individuals in whatever it is they're trying to achieve, like I love to work with actors as well. Like that's another one of my passions, having worked in the business behind the scenes so much and in front of the camera, is people who've never even been in this business and don't have that knowledge and experience readily available to them. So that's part of the message and the journey there. But the amazing thing about that is money it disappears, right? Like after you're gone, the money doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Like if you're talking about that measurable to the human being, because the thing is, if you affected people in a positive way through your story, through your journey, through your message, with what you taught them, and it impacted their lives personally and changed their state of consciousness to a better state of consciousness, it affected them emotionally, then the thing about that is that message, like the idea, lives on forever, even after you're gone, because they had that experience and it helped them grow. And then they're going to share that with someone else and someone else and someone else and someone else. It's like Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. When I think about that, he literally said this in one of his lectures, because I actually have lectures with his voice. And he literally says in there, that book at that time that he was still alive at that lecture sold more copies than any other book out there. And he said, and it's going to do so and inspire people and help people long after I'm dead and gone. And that's where the money is measurable, but the impact that you have on the human being and their growth, and then you spread it out, right? Because then they're going to spread it out to so many other people. Right? Like someone said the other night on Clubhouse, I thought this was amazing, because so many people are coming on there in this community and joining together, and people are just connecting with people as human beings, which after COVID, we so need that, right? And coming back to that human element has been so beautiful. And someone said on there, they said the new money is love. And I was like, wow, that's so powerful, right? Love is an immeasurable emotion, right? It's timeless, it's endless, it's forever. Yeah. And, you know, so like money's just a byproduct of all of the gifts that you can give to someone else. But the great thing about that is after you're gone, all that gift and that spirit that lit them up, it's going to be with them and their kids and their grandkids. And who knows how far that can go.
Yeah. Have you heard my happiness formula?
What's that?
Have you heard my happiness formula?
No, give it to me.
So I basically want to spread happiness around the world. So I want to spread the happiness virus around the world and leave a legacy of impacting people's happiness. And happiness can be a measure of a country's success. More so, I believe, better than a GDPR. You know, if the nation is happier and scoring happier, which I think the Scandinavian countries always score the happiest, then, you know, aren't they richer, really, you know, are they really richer? I would say they are, you know. Is it really down to how much money a country makes or how happy the population is? Think about it, you know. What do most people do when they have their wealth anyway? They buy stuff to make them happy. So if they're just happy anyway, then why do they need to buy those things?
That's right. That's why in some of the countries, and they've done studies on that, where some of the countries who are actually some of the poorest countries are the happiest people.
Yeah.
Because they're not attached to the material things in the chase of that game, you know?
So ultimately, that's my mission, is to spread happiness around the world. And that is much more wealth. That to me, you know, happiness, somebody being happy for their entire life is a better measurement of wealth than how much money they got in the bank. Because money's just it's just a confine. It's just a made up thing to exchange value.
But
happiness is something which is an impact on a lifestyle. If somebody has a happy life, then that's worth far more than however many numbers they had in their bank account. I mean, numbers in a bank account don't really impact much. Like, you know what I mean? It's like I don't really get why Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and stuff like that have still got billions and billions. They've got more billions than they can ever spend. Why? Just give it to people and make them happy.
Oh my goodness. And they donate so much of that money. And you, I mean, like when you get to that level though, man, compound interest, hello.
But they still got billions of it. What does just give it? Why do they just solve every problem in the world? I just don't get why they don't.
I love that you're saying that. Okay. I'm gonna tell you a little something that I discovered recently within the last couple of weeks as I'm pricing some of my products out. Yeah. And experiencing the market with different things. And here's the thing that I realized, because a lot of my friends, I'm also very spiritual. I'm into like energy healing and things like that. You know, I mean, those things are incredible. And, but a lot of my friends who are spiritual practitioners, because of the being within themselves, don't want to charge people for their services, right?
Yeah.
They would just love to just give it away. Which I'm not saying anything against that. Obviously, you always want to be adding more value, no question about it. But something that I realized that I learned recently, and then using myself as an example, is if you're giving things, and again, I'm not saying not to do this for sure, but, and I've actually, because again, a lot of times when I'm studying things related to other people, or I'm trying to figure things out for myself, I try to look at myself and say, how did I feel in that moment? Or did I do this? Or did I not do that? And why not? So I can better understand not only myself, but then my clients and my customers, right?
Yeah.
And what I have found out is that if you don't charge for certain things and you're always giving things away for free, and even like with philanthropy, obviously you definitely want to do that. The more you have, the more you want to give.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating to me in human behavior that if you're always giving something away for free, then unfortunately, a lot of people take that for granted. Yeah. You can give a whole course, and Russell Brunson actually kind of like, I don't know if you know him with
ClickFunnels.
He's amazing. Like I freaking love him.
Yeah.
But he does his one funnel away challenge, which is incredible. And there's so much information, so much wealth of knowledge, and so much value in that. I mean, it's only $100. It's absolutely incredible.
But
he had said at one time, like, I think that he was giving this away for free originally because he wanted people to get all the value of the knowledge and grow their business and help them make their dreams come true and get to where they want it to be. Yeah. But the problem with that is if you're giving it away for free, he found out that most people might start with it, but they didn't follow through to completion. So you have to actually charge for certain things, and you can't give everything away for free. Then it creates a perceived value on that within the human spirit that then makes you want to take the action to follow through the completion. I just thought that was amazing.
I agree with that. And I agree with the psychology of that. Yeah. But there are Africans starving in the world. Yeah. And there are homeless people in the world and all that sort of thing. And actually they can come up with institutions, and they can come up with, like, Bill Gates can come up with an organization that manages that. So there are no people sleeping on the streets. You know what I mean? He can come up with a hotel system, right? And he can implement a 30% vacancy, right? He could construct a hotel business with a 30% occupancy vacancy, which he says each hotel donates that to the local council for the homeless people in, or something like that. You know what I mean? There are
things
that you can do to give your money away without using give it all away, and then therefore they don't respect it, the model. There are ways of overcoming that using creativity and sophistication, where you can get the delivery that you want, which is solving the problem's need, the people's needs, but without having to go through the giving them everything, so it makes them lazy type approach or whatever.
That's right.
The strategy is not to give a man a fish, because then the man always wants a fish, to teach him how to fish. Yeah, as the saying says. Yeah, so there are ways of billionaires giving their money away without giving it away, but incentivizing it in a clever, strategic way of building economies, etc. So, like, you could go, Bill Gates can go and put Microsoft business parks all over Africa, and one in every town and city in Africa with his billions, and he could actually just implement business structures that allow the economy to grow and the countries to grow, and they're tilted in the balance of the favor of everyone winning these business structures, rather than them being like they are at the moment, where the African nation will struggle to compete with the rest of the world because they're starting off at a much unfair advantage. You know what I mean? So there's sophisticated things that they can do that they just don't do. Whether that's just, I don't believe it's a lack of knowledge because they got all of the best people around them. So if it's not a lack of knowledge and they got the information and they got the driver to give their money away being philanthropic, and why do they have, you know, £100 billion in the bank or in asset value or spread around their assets or whatever? Why don't they just find a way of solving some of the world's problems? That's what I would do, Lizzie, is I'd find a way.
Oh my gosh, I'm so with you on that, because there are some people who are in situations where they can't do it themselves and they need that help. The key to that, I believe, is because like you said, you can give the man a fish, but teach the man a fish, right? Yeah. And what I think is, like, with giving that away, absolutely do that, because you need to have the structure, like the system, to be able to, you know, like go in there and like you said, have the housing and things like that. But that's why part of my ultimate purpose is empowering people, not yeah. just giving it to them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't want to enable people.
You got to get them to build their muscles. You got to exercise them.
You go in, you create a community and you help them, because they wouldn't have, like, especially in Africa, right? Like, they wouldn't have that opportunity if you didn't donate that money to be able to create that opportunity. So it's not so much just about giving someone free money. It's about building something to be able to create the opportunity for them to then feel their own worth and their own empowerment of that they matter and they're adding value. So it's not just giving the money. And I think that's what's so important. I mean, I think Oprah does that, like, some, you know, like, she's, I think Dave Chappelle actually did that for a time and stuff, you know, like, because it's one thing if you just go in there and give money and throw money at things, that's just like a band-aid.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not gonna work.
Exactly. But what else needs to go with that? It can't just be that, because then they're just going to keep asking for the fish, like you said. So it's a matter of making them. That's why I think the mindset coaching and things like that is so important, because it's a matter of letting them know what they have to offer too, but creating that opportunity for them to have that, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why my mission is to work with startups, give them the money, but give them the education and allow them to become self-sufficient, so that you're teaching them how to fish. You're teaching them entrepreneurship and spreading the virus of entrepreneurship around the world, because most people want to do it themselves. They just need to be shown the way and given the chance. So that's why that's my mission, is because it's a way that works. It's a productive way that works. It's a cross between capitalization and socialism and capitalism. It's a balance. I'm a Libran. I believe everything should be balanced. I don't believe socialism works, and I don't believe capitalism works. Because if capitalism worked, we wouldn't have homeless people on the streets, and we wouldn't have these problems, these global problems. And if socialism worked, then we wouldn't always vote in capitalism. Socialism is too, everyone becomes reliant on the fish. so we can't let it be. Basically, we've got a dog eat dog world where there are winners and losers. Well, we need to level the playing field. Yeah?
That's right. It's got to be, you know, it goes back to this little puppy right here, right? Can you see that? It's the yin and the yang, my friend. It's all about balance, right?
Exactly, yeah. And that's what I'm saying to you. So ultimately, socialism doesn't work, right? Because it makes everyone lazy and the country doesn't grow and it doesn't benefit, right? And capitalism works better, but it's got too big a range. The gap between the top and the bottom is too big. So therefore, there needs to be a structure that takes from the top and gives to the bottom, but not in a socialist way. But in a encouraging and developing and bringing the next generation through, and letting the top people teach the other people their structures and strategies, etc. So then the people at the bottom can turn into the people in the middle, and the people in the middle can go to the top. It's just about getting more people through the system, you know. So it's a lot better spread. is at the moment.
Let me tell you, if you can figure that out, my friend, then you've got a winner right there, because I don't know the answer to that. Like, I totally agree with what you're saying with having the balance, but I'm definitely not a political person when it comes to things like that. So if you've got that figured out, I'm sure a lot of people would want to know the answer.
I think I could probably get that figured out. I really do think, I think there's better.
I love that you even said that. Make it happen, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to work on it. I'm not trying to work. I'm doing it. I'm making it happen. I am on the process of making influence and legacy happen. That's my mission. Richard Branson's doing it. Richard Branson has his Virgin Startup, etc. He's helping bring that generation of entrepreneurs through. You know, we need to keep teaching people how to fish.
You know what? And you know what? Another thing that I thought of. Well, this has been like a big argument of mine for a very long time. But again, I'm not a political person. But like, why don't they teach mindset in school?
Exactly.
You know, like, I mean, if in order to level the play, because here's the thing, it doesn't take money to make money, but it does take a certain mindset. It does take a level of education. And by education, I don't mean book smarts, right? I mean experience of education.
Street smarts.
That's right. Street smarts, common knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, you know, learning as you go and experience and insight and wisdom. But also how to think properly and even how to manage your finances. I mean, they have where like it's a prereq, like you in high school and stuff like that. And
you've opened up a hornet's nest for me now, right? Because this is one of my topics, right? This is one of my topics. Basically, the school system has been educating people since the 50s and the 60s. When people needed the Industrial Revolution. And we're still teaching them the same thing.
That's right.
But now it's technology and entrepreneurship, and we're still teaching them for the Industrial Revolution. But this is the tech age, so we should be teaching them all the tech skills. In schools, we shouldn't have history, geography, you know, politics, religion, and all that nonsense, which don't really benefit anyone. What we should have is funnel building, SEO, social media marketing, you know, digital
marketing. How about the fundamentals of just having a financial course of how to balance your damn checkbook? If your parents don't know how to do that, how are you, you know what I'm saying? Like, think of how much more advantaged people would be. And like when I first went to college, I didn't even know how to balance a checkbook. Nobody taught me that. God bless my parents and everything. But why isn't that a mandatory? Like, they should have budgeting and finance as a mandatory course in high school.
Of course they should.
You know, like they have speaking of foreign language mandatory. I feel like that should be an alternate. Like, why isn't finance mandatory in high school? That's ridiculous.
Why isn't personal development mandatory?
Exactly. Like, they teach you, someone said that on the Tony Robbins thing earlier. They teach you what to think, but they don't teach you how to think.
No.
Which, hello, the only way that you ever become anything in life that you want, whatever that may be, is to know how to control your own mind and how to think what you want to think to create the reality that you want to experience. And that's the most important thing of anything, for the most part, right? As far as the thinking process.
Yeah, of course. That's right. Really one of my big bugbears. So that's why I'm on a mission. I'm on so many different missions, but I know that the way to get to all the things I want to get done is to get on the stages, right? And to make an impact, right? Once you get on those stages, then I can help the next generation and deal with that problem. There's another one, which is the diversification problem of getting a mixture of the human race and the different nationalities, etc., in the public speaking space, because at the moment it's mostly white American males, older ones, and I don't think that's a reflection of society these days. So I want to get on a stage so I can pull other people up and put them on a stage. So to me, I'm about tackling global problems, like, you know, because collaboration teaches you that you can generally overcome any problem, just like the coronavirus just happened. You know, collaborators, you know, different scientists from different nationalities, you know, German companies, Belgium offices, whatever, you know, for the vaccines. It's a collaborative effect. And if we work together, we can solve global warming. If we work together, we can solve, you know, inequality. We can solve all of these things together, but we've been working apart for too long and too much with the vaccines and stuff, but, you know, on the race issues and on all sorts of issues. And with this socialism, conservatism or capitalism to one side or the other, you know, and there's not enough in the middle. And if we can just come in the middle and work out how we work together to get the best of everything, then we'd be a much better country, much, much better world, much better country, much better nation. So, you know, ultimately, it's all about teamwork makes the dream work is one of my quotes. And it's one of the ones I love. And you can get a lot more achieved working together than you can pulling apart.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, strength in numbers with that. You know, I love what you're saying. Again, that's another thing that I love about Clubhouse is because, and a lot of people talk about that, is because even cross-culturally, people are connecting in so many different ways because they're just connecting with human voices and the energy behind the voice of how people are resonating with each other and connecting in that way. And it's amazing with that, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, you don't, some of the environments and the atmospheres, whether it's wealth or whether it's like, you know, with your gender or whether it's with your race, like sometimes those don't intermingle. There's all these little boxes everywhere. But when you're in that app and that scene, it's not about that, right? It's just about your voice, what you have to offer, who you are as a person, like what your character is, like, because you can really tell a lot about that over time with your experience with other people in that. And that's what I really love about it, because people, you know, African Americans are learning from white people, and white people are learning from African American, you know, like, and there's people from other, I mean, it's so diverse, like it's amazing, because not one, there's no one race or gender that has all the answers, you know, and no one culture that has them all. We all complement one another. And that's something that I really like, because we're all learning so much from each other through it. It's been a blessing instead of keeping each other in compartments and these boxes that are separating everyone.
Yeah.
It's been, well, I'm sure you've had that too, right?
Yeah, well, I jump into rooms that are literally just full of Black Americans.
And me
I
too! Jump
into rooms full of Swedes, and I've jumped into rooms full of just women, boss women and that. And I'll just sit there in the audience and listen. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yes.
My Welsh dragon and my cartoon, I just sit there in the middle.
That's right. That's right. Man, you were talking about Grant Cardone before. I heard him in a room the other day because it was a predominantly African-American room. And he literally said exactly what I feel sometimes. Like, good, you know, I'm white. God bless white people and everything. But sometimes, or I don't know, maybe like he said this too, but like sometimes you want to go, you don't want to just be in the all white room because it's
exactly.
Like, you know, like I love different cultures.
I don't care what the room's like. I'm just going to get in there.
Exactly, exactly. Like the uniqueness of how we are all so unique in our own special ways is what makes life interesting and what makes people interesting.
Yeah, definitely, you know? Definitely. How do people get in touch with you if they're looking to do some business, if they resonate with what you say and all of that? Where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, I would say my Instagram is probably the best way to like DM me on Instagram for sure, because I'm still on the back end building my other two businesses and building out their websites. I'm going to be launching that within the next month. The sooner the better, obviously. But yeah, I would say like my most active account is my Instagram that I have. It's like my main account that I use. So
yeah, brilliant. And are you at Yvonne Sayers on Clubhouse?
I am indeed, yes. My Clubhouse handle at Yvonne Sayers. Yeah.
Good.
On Instagram, it's at the, like as in the apple, the tree, the Yvonne Sayers. So like the one and only, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, and I'm at Mike Armstrong. If you haven't already checked me out on Clubhouse and Mike Armstrong, hashtag Mike Armstrong and Mike Armstrong in Google or LinkedIn, you find me. I'm a digital marketer, so I'm easy to find. But yeah, I'm just going to leave it there. I could talk to you forever, to be honest with you.
I know, right? So much to share. It's awesome.
And I'm sure we will have plenty more calls as well. And I'm always like deep diving back in on particular subject matters, etc. But we didn't start that this call to midnight, and it's coming up to 12:55 now. And I've already been pushing someone back from like 12:30 to 12:45 to 1:00. So I can't push her back anymore. So we'll just have another chat another time. It's been awesome having you on the podcast and verbally sparring with you about some of our shared ideas and some of our difference of opinion as well, which is always great in a debate. So just keep up the good work, carry on being awesome, and we'll bump into each other plenty of times on the clubhouse over the next weeks and months, I'm sure. So keep up the good work, Yvonne, and if I can help you in any way, just let me know, and I'm there for you, okay?
I love it. You're amazing. Thank you so much. I love your energy. It's awesome. It's infectious. Yeah, it's fabulous.
If you want to come to my mastermind on a Sunday, I do a free mastermind for people in the communication sector. It's called Strong Communicators, the Facebook group. And you can join the Facebook group. There's about 45, 50 in there. And I get between 12 and 15, turn up on a Sunday at 2 o'clock UK time, which is your East Coast, PST, yeah?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles.
So. Yeah, so it's going to be about, was it 6 o'clock in the morning? So it's a bit of an early one, but maybe you'll stay up one weekend for me.
I wake up early for gold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, good. But yeah, you have to set the alarm. Well, I would have just stayed up because I stay up till four anyway. So,
I know you're a wild man with that, man.
I got to get in the habit of getting my 7 hours of sleep. It's actually part of my happiness formula. I never come with my happiness formula. And we'll have to do that again another time.
Yeah. You leave everybody hanging, right?
Yeah, no worries. I've mentioned it plenty of times on my podcast and on my YouTube channel. So check out my podcast and my YouTube channel. Anyone interested in the happiness formula? Hashtag smart happiness formula. It's all there. So nice to have you on, and we'll look forward to the next time.
You too, my dear. This was a blast.
Yeah, no worries. All right, then. All the best.
Godspeed. Bye.